Bonnie, did you notice how happy Andy sounded that we have a short show today? hey, great. We've got basketball all afternoon. Hey.
It's brunch, lunch, and dinner, baby.
Dean, out of here.
We're starting at 11 o'clock this morning.
Bad, there's not an early basketball game we can go to today. Can we play one of them from yesterday?
Let's replay everything.
Let's start right now.
Andy sounded very happy.
Wow. Oh, that's a false characterization.
Did I hear you say babooey?
Boo-booey.
That's boo-booey. Yeah, he's a senior guard for the Northwestern Wildcats. He led the team in scoring yesterday.
I should know that.
Yeah.
Yes, you should.
Well, I'll bet they don't know who some of the cast is of some of the movies that I cover.
This is true.
We all have our areas of expertise. What's his name? Boo-booey?
Boo-booey.
Boo-booey.
Yes.
Okay. And, one of the things I want, we do have a short show today because, thank goodness, there's basketball today. Woo! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, basketball today. I thought we would dedicate today's show to answering our listeners' questions that we get. We get many on the text line, emails. I've got quite a few good old fashioned snail mail this week. I wanted to share some of those, and we'll start off for Andy because this person from the 847 area code texted this five times. Five times. Oh, wait, six. He just sent another one.
Just making sure.
Please tell Andy to spend 5 seconds stating who scored all of the Hawks' goals. And I think he means in the history of the franchise.
we hear from this gentleman quite often.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So do we not know that?
I can tell you.
Do we know the answer to his question, or do you want to ignore him because he texts too much?
I don't want to ignore anybody. I mean, that's not what my, not my MO in the whole thing here.
Right. When Andy insults, it's usually just me.
Andy doesn't insult me.
Well, let's see. It was Jujar Kara and Caleb Jones.
They scored all the goals?
They scored two goals, yes.
Two goals. Okay. All right.
So there's your 5 seconds.
Sir or madam, you can give your thumbs a rest. All right.
How many texts and emails and snail mails do we have here?
There's quite a few.
Are there?
Oh, yeah. They never stop. The mail, as Newman used to say on Seinfeld, the mail never stops.
Hello, Dean.
847 area code, why does Schwanee skip last night's Hawks game but talk about what's happening 2 days from now? Most of the texts are just complaints about the show, by the way.
Okay.
Well, that's really right. Nice.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Do you have an answer to that?
Well, it was just reading what was coming up because we were going to report on the Hawks during the sports. That's what we did.
I'm enjoying this listener feedback.
Right, because it's
so
all
far
about me and Andy, not you.
Here's one from the 773 area code. Dean, you make my Sunday morning. Oh, well, that's a nice. This is working out really well. People kept coming all morning long to watch us do the WGN morning news. I cooked. This was my first time cooking for viewers. I cooked for people. I made a whole bunch of different appetizers, including, of course, corned beef and cabbage for a corned beef and cabbage eating contest that we had. We put four people at a table and, we're shoveling corned beef and cabbage to see who could eat the most. And all I could think was, I wish Schwanee was here because you would have nailed that contest.
I love corned beef and cabbage.
I did until I made about 100 pounds of it.
And you were forced to eat 98 pounds of it.
Actually, I had very little of it. I tasted it just to make sure that it was okay. But after just smelling a huge amount of corned beef and cabbage, I started cooking it at home, and then I finished cooking it in slow cooker at 115 Bourbon Street. So my clothes smell. I had to burn my clothes that I was wearing that day. They smelled like corned beef and cabbage. Everything just smelled like corned beef and cabbage. But I made several things, which I'll talk about later on. But we had a bunch of fun. Hopefully everybody had a fun. Shawnee, did you do anything for St. Patrick's
Day? Not really. I was involved with work things and some other personal business, and I didn't really do a great deal for Friday. I had lunch and hung out at a neighborhood place, and that was about it, really, just in the late afternoon.
What were the personal things you had to do? I'm just kidding.
Nosy.
Well, when someone says nosy. I had personal things to do.
Well, I know you would.
And
well,
I wanted to know what
I wanted
was.
To be a little more specific than just said I hung out, because you would say, oh, well, what else did you do? So I wanted to, you know, just kind of add that. So, no, I,
Andy, are
unlike,
you curious?
Unlike St. Patrick's Day celebrations in the past, yes. This one was fairly mellow.
Good. Andy, how about you? I know you've been super busy this week.
Yeah, super busy working, and did a little morning show on Friday. Let's see, last night we watched a little tournament action, and that's really about it. That didn't get out of the sports realm. Let's put it to you that way.
Yeah, well, this is a busy time of year. I mentioned the other the last week that the Oscars are my Super Bowl.
Yep.
This is it's not your Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is your Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But
this is the lead up to spring.
March is a pretty busy time in the all sports department, and too bad Northwestern falling short after the loss to UCLA. I guess, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was tough to watch last night because my wife, Melina, is a UCLA grad.
Ooh.
And, of course, I'm representing the radio station and, having gotten to meet Chris Collins and worked with those folks over there a lot. It was one of those real awkward nights, because I think if Northwestern had won, I would have been sleeping on somebody's couch.
Right. Yeah, it's actually better for you personally. It's better that UCLA won.
Correct. Professionally, I would have loved to have seen Northwestern go.
Yeah. How's Dave Ennett? Dave Ennett taking it okay?
Yeah, I think he's good. I mean, he after the football season, the way that it went, this was a great season for basketball. It was a pivotal season for the basketball team, and it was nice to see some of these guys that kind of lost a little bit of a step last year shined in their final year with the program, with Boo Booey and Chase Audige and guys like those. And it was a really good, fun season. They won a lot of games, 22 games. Yeah. They set up school record for the most Big Ten wins, and knocked off a number one. So that was it was pretty cool.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad for them. You know what? Dave Ennett is pretty amazing.
He is.
I think, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day, and I was listening to him. I think he's one of the best sportscasters that we've ever had in Chicago. That's a big statement, but that's how strongly I feel that Dave Ennett is a fantastic sports broadcaster.
He certainly is. I mean, he's very versatile, obviously, with being able to do football and basketball, and obviously with his alma mater, which is tremendous. I mean, that's such a great honor to be able to call games for a school that you went to and you rooted for as a collegiate.
Right.
And, the job he does in the mornings is it's amazing as well. And, I owe a lot to Mr. Cat. He brought me to WGN not once, but twice.
Yeah. Now, you have to kiss up to him because he's your boss.
Yeah, well, he doesn't like that very much. He's one of those guys that can't take, he doesn't like to take compliments very much.
No, sorry.
So we compliment him all the time.
Andy and I think the world of Dave Ennett.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Schwani's mentioned several times that he doesn't care for him.
I knew I was going to be brought into this in a very negative fashion.
I don't want to bring up any specifics.
I've known Dave for a long time, and I agree wholeheartedly with everything that was just said.
Schwani is a big fan of actual cats, of kitty cats.
Yes,
so I like cats also.
He's offended that Dave Ennett is called Mr. Cat.
I am not,
and he
offended.
Feels like somebody who more represents the actual feline breed should be called Mr. Cat. He's felt this way for years. This is the first time that it's coming out publicly.
Oh, Schwani,
don't believe it. don't believe it. You say that Dave is not one that really wants
doesn't,
to compliment.
Doesn't care for him. He doesn't
unlike
care for
someone
him.
Else I know that wants to be told how great everything is all the time.
So you say that like it's a bad thing.
So you know, we'll all be Eddie Haskell like.
Oh,
Dean, you have the best show in the whole wide world.
It took you all this time to figure that out.
Wow, Mr. Richards, I never miss your show.
You've been working with me all these years, and you're finally just learning that. Oh, what a shock! Somebody in radio is an attention freak. Somebody that works in radio and TV needs to be constantly
told all the time how right. great they are.
Oh, I'm a shock! I'm oh, shocked!
Oh my that, goodness!
Shocked that anybody in this industry is like that. I admit it.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's like a compliment. You like a compliment, Chwani?
Of course.
Well, of course.
I complimented the I voted sticker that you wore
no,
for about
you made
three, 4 months.
Of, you made fun of it. You didn't compliment it. You made fun of it.
Wow, that's a nice sticker that you've had on there since Obama ran for president.
No, actually, it was from 1986.
Holy smokes.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not wearing it today, am I?
No. I didn't notice.
I'm not.
No. Okay. What else do we have going on here today? Oh. The new Ravinia schedule is out. Sure yeah. sign of summer right around the corner. Just as sure as we're going to be hearing baseball soon, Andy will be reporting on baseball soon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be telling you about shows going on at Ravinia. We're going to talk with the president and CEO of Ravinia, Jeff Hayden, coming up in a little while, and we'll give you all the details on this coming season. Idris Elba is our A-list interview for today, so we'll get to that coming up as well on the program today. What else do we have? That's it. That's all we have for the show today. Yeah, that's all I got.
And compliments.
And compliments. Oh,
yes.
Boy, Andy isn't. Dean is just the greatest guy, isn't he, Andy? Boy, just. The most fantastic person to work with.
Let's see if Don Kleppen agrees when we have him taking over here. Here from the this is it's Feedback Sunday. So,
ooh, I like that. Yeah, I thought we were going to hear more letters. You're going to read all the ones that compliment you. That's what you're going to do.
Maybe I might. I might. Thought I had an intro for that, but I guess I don't. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I'm going to, well, you know, we're constantly getting texts and emails, and actually we get a fair amount of snail mail on the show also. So I'm going to try to share some of it. Let me see here. It says, this is what, the 708 area code. Dean, we all hear about when we do something that offends others, but rarely do we hear when we do something right. Your show is doing it right. Keep up the good work. Well, see, we're nothing but positivity on this show.
Of course. Listeners have grown to know that, right?
Let me see if there's any more complimentary emails here.
Boy, I'll tell you, nothing like that Dean Richards, I'll tell you.
Dean, I'm so confused. This is the 630. I'm so confused. Last Sunday, you mentioned that Lady Gaga was not going to be performing at the Oscars because she had a scheduling conflict.
And then she did.
And when I saw her on stage, I did not know if it was really her. Well, you are correct on that. She was not supposed to perform. And it was only hours before that she changed her mind and decided to perform. So next time I'll tell her to call me.
That's because she heard you say, well, Lady Gaga's not right. going
to
perform.
Yeah, she wanted to make
well, me, I'll just show him.
She wanted to make me look foolish, which, as I've proven week yes. after week, I don't need any help with that. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Dean. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
chilly this morning.
Yeah, better than it was yesterday. It was completely bone-chilling yesterday. Much more pleasant today, and hopefully It's going to stay that way for a little while. I'm done with winter. I don't know about anyone else, but even though it's been incredibly mild this year, I'm done with it all. I'm ready for some nice hot weather I can complain about instead. So the big story, maybe one of the big stories this week, they're trying to figure out the origin of COVID and how it got here. They were saying a Chinese lab, and now they're saying a raccoon dog, which I have no idea what a raccoon dog is. Is there any medical purpose to find this out at this point? Or is, you know, this just the ongoing political football about COVID of where it started?
Well, I guess I would say it's a little bit of both. Certainly, it really is more political football when we look at, all right, who are we going to blame and what's going to happen? I think what more important is it's showing it. If this pans out to be true, we really just have to have our eyes open again as far as viruses that can leave an animal and go to an individual, go to a person. So the transmission of those, whether it be, you know, avian flu, you know, from the chickens, you know, certainly we're going to have to look and say, okay, how did this happen? And if it was, you know, the political side apart is what do we now need to do and start thinking about how we protect humans from animal viruses? Because if that's the way it pans out, you know, it could be somewhat concerning.
That makes perfect sense to me. You know, we, you know, want to discover this then, so we can prevent it from happening again in the future. Is it just actual contact, you know, going near a chicken, going near, you know, some of these animals that are causing it? Or is it even more contact than that?
Well, Dean, I like the way you said it initially. You know, what really we need to start doing is start looking at these viruses that are impacting animals and looking to see, okay, what commonalities do they have and what impact would they have? But it certainly comes down to direct contact, right? I mean, in order for you to get COVID from somebody or influenza from somebody, you need to be in direct contact with those individuals, and the live virus goes into you and uses us as a host to continue to replicate. So, you know, the question is, was this in a wet lab, in a wet market where they had many, many different animals and it just happens to be this one? But it comes down to, if we have animals that are infected with viruses, what do we know about those viruses, and what can we look forward to protecting ourselves if some of these were to change?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a raccoon dog?
I haven't.
I never have. Yeah. I heard that story. I said, well, I've heard of a raccoon, and I've heard of a dog, but I've never heard of a raccoon dog. And then somebody published a picture. You know, sorry for all you raccoon dog lovers out there. It is the ugliest animal I've ever seen in my life. Not an animal I think I would be going near. But it did make me think of this, though, because I know in a lot of countries, animals are eaten that we may not eat here. I would imagine that would be one means of transmission, right, from animal to human?
Very possibly. You know, we know we're concerned about some viruses when we eat some and some bacteria when we eat even something like, you know, uncooked pork, or we know bacteria with salmonella on chicken if we don't cook it properly. So certainly dietary intake of something not prepared properly to the right temperatures can allow bacteria and viruses to stay live while you consume those. And then certainly we end up with, whether it be stomach virus, you know, or other issues.
I don't know if I've ever asked you about this regarding organic foods. Is there a health benefit? You see it in the store all the time now. There are organic alternatives for everything. Should we be doing that? Should we be buying organic, or is that a big marketing ploy?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and this organic has nothing to do with, you know, viruses and bacteria. Obviously, that's how we prepare our food.
Yeah.
But it's more the natural vitamins versus the manufacturing and the genetic, you know, manipulation that we've done to make apples bigger and, you know, fruit grow faster. So certainly it gets to the side of marketing, making that product more available quicker in a larger volume. But really, if you want to look at the health benefits, go back to the organics where they're not using pesticides, they're not using other chemicals to enhance the growth. And in fact, what you're getting is the natural vitamin and the natural fiber that the product was meant to be delivered. So it really does come down to how fast can somebody grow something and how big can they grow it quickly versus let's make sure we have, you know, the right foundation for the fruit the way it was supposed to be made.
Yeah, I have to say that I almost always buy organic everything now because I know that lots of animals are treated with drugs to grow faster, hormones to grow faster, you know, et cetera. I don't want any of that in the food that I'm eating. So I always try to buy milk or eggs or, you know, meats which are that have not been treated with any of that. It's a little more expensive, but seems like it's a, you know, worthwhile investment to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, eggs for me especially, you know, certainly you can look at the cost of eggs and say, gosh, is it worth $1, $1.50, $2 more? But I'll tell you, the taste of the free-range eggs and, you know, the dietary aspects of what those chickens are being fed for those eggs, the eggs are much better. That's just my personal taste, and other people will have difference of opinions. And unfortunately, not all of us can afford to eat organically. And sometimes the financial restrictions as well as the ability to access those. You know, we have food deserts even here in Chicago where someone has to travel a great distance just to get fresh fruit because of the grocery store populations around. So I want to make sure that we tell people, don't force yourself to look for those. If you're in a situation where you can eat any foods and fruits and vegetables, please continue to eat the ones that you have and you'll be able to afford.
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions, comments for Dr. Kevin Most. We'll get to those next. You want to get on the text line or phone line. Both are open right now, 312-981-7200.
I'm John Williams, and you may have heard me talk about Main Street Smiles in Barrington. Dr. Patani has a $79 special for you, the new patient, to get your brightest, healthiest smile. Now, listen to this. Botox can have a profound effect on people suffering from tension headaches caused by stress and clenching. It can even minimize the pain of migraines. If you have chronic muscle pain in the head and neck, you might well benefit from a Botox treatment. And here you just thought Botox was used for cosmetic reasons. Dr. Patani at Main Street Smiles in Barrington can also smooth out the lines on your forehead, the crow's feet at the eyes. That sort of gummy smile you see, maybe from clenching, can be reduced. And Botox fillers can enhance the look of your lips and nose, cheeks and chin. As a full-service family dentist, Dr. Patani is committed to giving you a bright, healthy, attractive smile and face. And right now, that first Botox treatment is just $10 per unit. For a brighter, more relaxed smile, click on MainStreet312.com.
Cards for Kids. KARS Cards for Kids. 1-877 Cards for Kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
With car prices at an all-time high, our donors are now getting highest receipts ever. Donate at carsforkids.org and your car can be picked up tomorrow.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Now accepting donations of land, homes, buildings, or any kind of real estate.
Hot water is a luxury that many of us take for granted. But when your water heater fails, you quickly realize how much you rely on hot water. If your water heater is over 10 years old or making abnormal banging noises, or you notice your hot water is just not hot enough, call the pros at Center Guard Plumbing. They're a family-owned company with all their own employees and decades of experienced plumbing knowledge. Center Guard Plumbing is the local water heater expert, installing over 2,000 water heaters in the Chicagoland area every single year. And they'll beat or match any water heater quote by another licensed contractor. CenterGuard Plumbing makes the estimate process so simple, too. Most of their work is quoted by you texting them pictures, saving service call fees. They'll never pressure you or upsell you for unnecessary repairs. Call CenterGuard Plumbing today, 847-406-8883. No job too small. Visit WGNplumber.com. That's WGNplumber.com for CenterGuard Plumbing. Expert plumbers you can trust.
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
9:49 already. Dean Richards, gorgeous Sunday morning, WGN. Dr. Kevin Most on with us, answering your questions about all things health. 312-981-7200. And Kev, one of the texts says, my cardiologist wants me to have TAVR for aortic stenosis. T-A-V-R. I'd be interested in Dr. Most's thoughts. Isn't TAVR, T-A-V-R, isn't that a valve replacement of in the heart?
Yeah, you don't need me. Dean, you can answer the question.
But yes, my mom had that several years before she passed away. I think she was 94 and went ahead with heart surgery at 94 years of age, and it was very, very successful for her. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's amazing. When we used to have to do major surgery to replace valves, it came with some balance of, okay, should we do this? Should we do this on a 94-year-old? Should we do this at what age can we do this? And now where we can go doing it endoscopically, in other words, going through the veins to do this, very important. Individuals with aortic stenosis, so the aorta, the valve, that's when we're pumping blood to the...
Here we go with that phone problem that we had last week, and we've lost Dr. Most again, just as he's answering that question. So, Julian, if you could get back, get Dr. Kevin Most back on the phone line, and we will we'll get back here. Whatever's going on with our phone lines for the past several weeks obviously has not been corrected yet. But let me tell you about. I'm not a doctor, and Dr. Most can, you know, tell you with much more expertise about the surgery. But my mom was 94 years old, was having lots of heart symptoms, went in for lots of tests, and they determined that one of the aortic valves in her heart was leaking. And they recommended that it be replaced. I'm a little concerned about this. My mother's 94. I'm hearing heart surgery, 94-year-old. Those kind of things don't normally go together very well. And as Dr. Most was explaining before our rinky-dink phone system that keeps hanging up on people cut them off, it was not invasive. You know, it was not opening up someone's chest and cracking open the bones and all that. Kevin, I think you're back on the line. This was all done very unintrusively on my mom.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the new models, the new ways to do it, the TAVRs are just absolutely wonderful. You usually stay in the hospital one day. But what happens with the valves in our heart, when we push blood out from our left ventricle, which is the strongest ventricle, sending blood all the way out to the rest of our body, to our brain and our kidneys and our feet and everything, that valve closes. And two things happen there. One, it prevents any blood from flowing back into the ventricle. And two, it makes sure that we get as much blood as possible out to the body. Well, those valves can sometimes calcify. They can get damaged. They can get damaged by infection. So what happens is you get a little bit of heart failure. You can't walk as far. You're short of breath. There's a lot of things. And what we do is we put a new valve in there without opening you up, and open up that stenosis, that narrowing, put a new functional valve in there, and boy, it's life-changing for people. It gives them a lot more energy and really gets rid of a lot of symptoms that could cause them to have a much more serious problems in the future.
Yeah, it was night and day difference for my mom. They put a pig valve in, which, you know, naturally, having four sons, that's all we did was tease her about that. afterwards, as any good son would. Eduardo, you're up next with Dr. Kevin Most on WGN. Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Dean and Dr. Most.
I saw this on DW German English News. Bacterial phages, P-H-A-G-E-S, it kills the bad bacteria in the micro, in the organism in the capital, Tbilisi, Georgia, in Russia. You get them over the counter, well, through the pharmacist, excuse me. Is that something that could be coming here to the U.S. if it's not already here?
Bacteriophages. What is that all about, Kev?
Yeah, so essentially what it is to find bacteria that are going to fight bad bacteria. So we all have good bacteria in our gut, right? We have bacteria that we absolutely positively need for digestion of food and for good balance of health. Bacteriophages actually go in and sometimes eliminate bad ones, so we know which ones are not good for us. In other words, we have, let's just go back to salmonella. Is there a bacteriophage that we could be given that would fight off salmonella to take care of an infection to make sure that we have good balance? The science isn't really great on it right now, and the FDA certainly will be looking at it. So more popular in foreign countries right now. A lot of people are going to use those. But certainly the science behind it and the thought process behind it makes total sense, especially when we're trying to fight off bacterial infections without using as many antibiotics as we are right now. So foundational, it's a great idea. We just need more science behind it.
All right, we'll keep our eye on that. And Jeff, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yep. We're with you. Yep.
So my question is, I'm a high school teacher, and I, you know, walk into my classroom and there's a few students that have masks on. So I just err to the side of caution and wear a mask. But I'm just wondering, like, what, you know, somebody in the public sector should kind of consider wearing a mask continually. It doesn't bother me personally. So I just wear it.
Yeah.
What's the verdict these days on masks,
Kev?
Absolutely. And Jeff, thanks for your service as a teacher. Teaching the foundation of kids for the future is very important. We appreciate that. As far as masks right now, everyone has to understand, we don't know why some people continue to wear masks, right? Maybe they're immunocompromised. Maybe they have a loved one at home who is getting cancer treatment. Maybe they just want to be careful. So we have to make sure that we don't socially make fun of them and do things. This is a foundation of how they're trying to protect their health. So that is great. As far as you wearing a mask, right now I look at it, and we're still wearing masks in the hospital. It's under big discussion right now because the numbers are so low. You're exposing yourself, and you're getting exposed to large numbers of students, right? Boy, we just talk about kids who go to kindergarten and that and first grade certainly are going to get exposed to every virus in the world. Same as we enter into kids taking care of kids in high school. So certainly if there's any reason for you to protect yourself, whether it's immunocompromised individual, whether you have loved ones at home, certainly wearing a mask is appropriate. I would say be really careful when wearing a mask to speak loudly enough. It's one of the things we're finding out in medicine, is that we need to make sure we speak loudly enough so that patients can hear us. Same with the high school teacher. But certainly showing respect to your students and wearing a mask would be very appropriate.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. The only time that I ever scratch my head when I see somebody wearing a mask, it's when they're wearing one when they're in the car by themselves. We've all seen that. I don't get that, but hey, more power to you. If you want to protect yourself in the car, God bless you for that. Kevin, God bless you for all the help that you give us every Sunday morning. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks, Kev.
Take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.
So I have proclaimed it Feedback Sunday. We get so many texts and emails and letters, snail mail. I thought we would, you know, take a little time out of today's show and respond to some of the texts that you get. Are you guys ready for these?
Only, Dean, you are such the consummate radio host.
I know that.
Tell him something he doesn't know already.
But keep the compliments coming, Sean.
You are just the consummate radio host.
Yeah, you're still not going to get a raise.
Wait, but no one does it quite like you.
The 773 area code said, as much as I love Schwani's far-flung forecast, which Schwani did about a half an hour ago, about why Arizona, W-H-Y Arizona, which I found very interesting today. Andy, Andy, didn't you?
Yes.
Found it very interesting.
Why? I did too.
Yeah. But the text goes on.
Did you get what I did there? Yeah, I said, yeah. Why? I did too.
Yeah, I heard you.
Okay.
I heard. I was just ignoring you.
That's all right, Dean.
As much as I love Schwanee's far-flung forecast, Arizona looks like a miserable place to live to me.
Well, all right.
I've been to parts of Arizona that are very nice.
So have I.
And I've seen some places that look pretty miserable to live. So I think we're all correct on this. 708 area code. Dean, regarding why Arizona, I have a feeling Schwanee is making up these places.
No, I am not. Check this out. They're there. They're there.
If Howe, Texas is next, then you know he's making them up.
Yeah. No, just wait till next week. I've already picked it out for next week.
Who's on first, Minnesota? Right.
Boy, Dean, you don't miss a thing. Boy.
47 area code to all of you on Dean Richards Sunday morning. You guys are hilarious.
Hey.
Love listening to you every Sunday morning.
Thank you.
Do you know Bob Trendler was one of the very first people on WGN television?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
He was with his
professional musician with his organization here for decades.
With the WGN Orchestra, because, you know, they used to do big band shows, all the shows that were coming out of WGN television when it first went on the air in 1948, April 5th, I believe, 1948. They had an orchestra providing music, and that was Bob Trendler and the WGN Orchestra. And, when the Bozo Show, Bozo Circus, went on the air, it was Bob Trendler and the WGN Orchestra renamed the Big Top Band that provided all that great music on the show through the years. Do you know that when Bozo first went on WGN, it was just Bozo, a one-man show.
Just Bob Bell by himself?
All by himself.
I didn't know.
One ring circus. He would show cartoons and tell jokes. And that was, I believe that started in 1959. I don't have my notes in front of me.
And then they expanded it to the full-fledged circus?
Eventually. The show went on, the one-man Bozo show went on hiatus because WGN Television moved from Tribune Tower to our glamorous facilities that we now are still at, 2501 West Bradley Place.
Mm-hmm.
So, during the move, the show was off the air, and when it relaunched, then it was with Ringmaster Ned, Bob Trendler and the Big Top Band, Oliver O'Oliver, the more the show that we know. But here's another interesting fun fact. On the very first relaunched Bozo show, no Bozo. I don't know where he was, but I've been trying to find out why there was no Bozo that first day.
On Bozo's show.
On Bozo Circus.
Great.
But he was there for the second show, and the rest is history. The show was on for 40 years, 10-year waiting list for tickets. I was nearly picked on the grand prize game when I went on a fourth-grade field trip. The kid next to me got chosen by the tips and the tips only of the magic arrows. And I think that's why I am the way I am today.
Dean, you're still the best radio host.
Craving attention. Craving those arrows landing on my bald head.
It wasn't bald at the time.
Well, it was on the way.
You were in the studio audience, weren't you?
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
Did you get chosen for a game?
I did not.
Aw.
But I enjoyed myself. I think we were toward the front, first couple of rows. And I don't remember if I wore my Cub Scout uniform at that point or not. I was with my mom. I wasn't with a group. So yeah. I don't know if I did or not.
Very nice. Very exciting. And Schwanee, cool. Your parents didn't care enough about you?
We sent in a card for the grand prize game.
For the at-home to be
for the at-home player. Yeah. But I will never, ever, ever forget watching Bozo usually eating lunch, and they came back. You know how they would show a cartoon, like 5 or 10 minutes into the program, and then they would come back and pan the audience. who is sitting in the front row but my friend from next door and his brothers and sisters.
What?
Yeah. He didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I don't know. That was a well-kept secret.
Yeah.
And he did get chosen for the game that they would play later in the show. Not the grand prize game, but, you know, a game where they would play tag or run around
right.
on the floor. There.
Right, right.
Some sort of a little baseball game he got to play in. But, boy, I'll tell you, he was a neighborhood celebrity
that
for
was,
a long time.
It was a big deal. You got to go to Bozo show. That was a big, big deal. I was watching some old footage the other day with one of those games, and they're playing musical chairs.
Oh, yeah.
I want to bring that back as an adult game.
We should do that on
next
this
year,
show.
Next year
we'll do it
at
tree time.
Next
we'll
year
do it at tree time.
Oh, that would be fun. We're going to play musical chairs. Tree time.
Play and for Christmas music.
Yeah, just
and we'll
us.
Play Christmas music.
Just us and Jim Toronto. Because I want to push him off a chair. I've been wanting to push him off a chair for years.
And we could make a Three Stooges routine out of it.
Yeah. So the reason that I wasn't just, you know, for no reason looking at old Bozo footage the other day, putting together a pretty expansive story on the children's shows of WGN television. Every Thursday night, leading up to the actual 75th anniversary, we've been focusing in on these WGN stories of, you know, zeroing in on whether it's been sports or Michael Jordan or, you know, news coverage. You know, they've been focusing in on an important part of WGN for our 75 years on the air in Chicago. And they asked me to do the story on children's programming. So that's going to be coming up this coming Thursday night between 9 and 10. I'm not sure exactly what time, but I hope you'll tune in for that. Guaranteed some great memories, some footage you've never seen before, some stories that you've never heard before. So, you know, I may have to add, Shawnee, now into that story that you were never allowed to go to Bozo Circus.
I wasn't allowed. No. But we did send in a card.
Your parents very wisely did not want you to be seen in public. A text from 708, wasn't the relaunch date for Bozo on September 11th? Yes, it was. It was September 11th, 1961. Exactly right. 40 years before the tragedy.
Tragic, you know, 9/11. Yeah.
Right, exactly right. But how about that? The Bozo Show was on for 40 years. One of the most successful children's television shows in the history of television on WGN, the Bozo Circus Show. But there were lots of other really memorable children's shows as well. And we will cover them all this coming Thursday night. 2023 lineup at Ravinia Festival in Highland Park. So many great names, returning favorites. Plenty of debut performances by some of the top artists. Here to tell us about it all is Jeff Hayden, who is the president and CEO of Ravinia. My friend Jeff, how are you there?
Wonderful to be able to talk with you again this morning. Thanks for having me on, Dean.
Pleasure. Boy, talk about a sure sign that spring and summer are around the corner when we get word that the Ravinia schedule is out. It's got to be very exciting for you now, huh?
The sunshine comes and the bulbs start to come up. We know, and the Ravinia schedule comes out. Summer's coming.
the list, well, and we're not going to go down the entire list. There are too many artists, but we'll hit some of the highlights, including some returning favorites. Which ones are you most looking forward to?
Oh, my gosh. Picking your favorite children here. We're all very excited to have Brandi Carlile come back, Santana come back, and as you said, Kenny Loggins.
I love that the group Chicago will be out at Ravinia this summer. The group Train, Jason Mraz, Michael Feinstein, Pat Metheny. Wow. Some of my favorite concerts have been Pat Metheny shows, Buddy, the great Buddy Guy, the great Heather Headley from Broadway, and also a whole bunch of artists making their Ravinia debuts. Who are some of those?
We're excited to have Charlie Puth come make his debut. Neo. We also have Straight No Chaser, a personal favorite of mine, coming as well. And for those of you who are into jazz, Maria Schneider and Melody Gardot are sure to be some favorites.
Yeah, those will be great. Boys to Men making their Ravinia debuts this year. And as always, one of the things I love best on a beautiful summer night, sitting out in the lawn and listening to the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. What do they have planned for us this year?
Maren Alsop, our chief conductor, is returning this year, and she's here with half of the orchestra's residency. Opening night is going to be a very exciting night. She has done this Global Ode to Joy project, started with Carnegie Hall, and features Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in an expanded version, which will include a lot of groups in Chicago. So we're grateful to have the Adrian Dunn Singers. We have a local jazz trio and African drumming trio all helping us to interstitial music between the different movements. So it should be a really fun evening.
Yeah, there's so many great names coming in all genres of music. Really, the only thing that kind of made me sad a little bit, I always, when I got my Ravinia schedule every year, I always look forward to see when Tony Bennett was going to be performing and when Ramsey Lewis was going to be performing. Tony Bennett, of course, is in the throes of Alzheimer's right now and is no longer performing. Ramsey passed away last year, so we sure are going to miss them, but some great things that you've got coming up, including something called the Breaking Barriers Program. What is that?
Maren and I started the Breaking Barriers Festival last year in an effect to highlight some underrepresented elements of classical music and beyond. And so last year we focused on women conductors because she's done so much great work and mentoring. And we're going to build on that this year, still continue to bring women conductors from all over the world, and also add to that women composers. And so this first night on Friday night, we're featuring a number of phenomenal living women composers and conductors, and we are interstitching that through the weekend with different panel conversations with the Chicago Network, with some C-suite women, others in the industry, and then we're going to look at singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade, as a Latina who's broken through a lot of barriers herself to win 20 Grammys. And then on Sunday, Maria Schneider, a female jazz band leader and composer who also has broken through a lot of barriers in a very male-dominated jazz world.
There are dance performances, Ruth Page Civic Ballet and Friends coming. Chicago Black Dance Legacy Project is coming and is on the schedule. And something that I've really come to enjoy at Ravinia, I've hosted a couple of these over the past several years, when you show movies on your big screens and you have a symphony orchestra performing the score to listen while you watch the movie live. Which ones do you have coming up this year?
It's very exciting to hear a lively orchestrated score played. We have two movies this year, back-to-back, Disney's Encanto. Don't Talk About Bruno. We love that movie. And what's little known fact is while Lin-Manuel wrote 8 songs for it, this is the first time Disney hired a female composer to write the entire score for a Disney film.
Okay.
So that continues our theme. And then we're celebrating the big anniversary of Jurassic Park with live orchestra on a huge screen, so dinosaurs will be present at Ravinia.
The Chicago Philharmonic will be performing the scores of these two movies August 27th and 29th. So if how does ticketing work? I know that patrons of Ravinia get first crack at the tickets, right?
Right. So on our website, ravinia.org, and you can go there, and starting on as early as Tuesday, donors get an opportunity to start buying tickets in advance of the general public. And we'll go through a series of on sales for donors for a couple of weeks. And then on May 1st, tickets go on sale to the public. We have a number of shows that I think may sell out before they get to the public. and particularly a number of shows that are in our intimate Martin Theater that I know will sell out before they get to the public. So even a donation of $100 gets you in that line, and it helps to support our music education program, where we're bringing music to over 20,000 students in Chicago public schools.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. But all the ticket sales are done online now. So you want to go on and take a look at the schedules and so forth. If you want to become a donor, you know, that would be great. And that way you'll get first crack at ticket purchases. It's Ravinia.org, Ravinia.org. Can't wait to jump into the season. And Jeff, I'm sure we'll talk more between now and then and throughout the season. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much, and look forward to seeing you at Ravinia this summer.
It's Jeffrey Hayden, President and CEO of Ravinia Festival in Highland Park, trying to answer as many of your letters, texts, emails that you always send into us here every Sunday. Usually, you know, we respond to them off the air. But I thought, you know, Shwani, why not answer some of them on the air today as well, right?
All to make fun of me, right?
Mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mostly.
Even though, Dean, you're just the best there is. You're just the greatest.
Oh, thanks.
You're just...
You don't really mean that.
No, but I thought I'd say it anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Related to that, 847 area code. Dean, after listening to Shwani this morning, I'm getting a little sick. Could you ask Dr. Most what I should do?
Okay.
Shwani. Here's another one from the 630 area code. Dean, I did not get the recipes for what you cooked on television this week. Can you recap it? Well, I'm not going to go over the full recipes, but I'll tell you where to get them. We were at 115 Bourbon Street on Friday morning for St. Patrick's Day. Amazing crowd, amazing fun. And I cooked for the crowd. Shwani, tell me if this sounds good to you. I made little mini corned beef sandwiches.
Oh, like, yes.
Like little finger food.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of rye bread. I smeared on some, you know, that spreadable Swiss cheese like Mertz.
Like, yeah.
I spread that on instead of a piece of Swiss cheese. I spread on the spreadable Swiss, put some Thousand Island dressing on top of that. Put some sauerkraut on top of that, corned beef, and a dill pickle chip.
Boy.
And a toothpick.
That is
delicious.
I'm ready to go right now. Yeah. Did you bring any for us?
No, of course
not. Of course not.
Of course not.
Dean, you're still the greatest.
Yeah. I made, you know, because Lent is going on, a lot of people are meatless, especially on Fridays. I made pepper and egg quiche. A lot of people have pepper and egg sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
I made the same thing, scrambled eggs and green peppers. Put them in little quiche cups and bake them. You can serve them warm. You can serve them at room temperature. Those were a huge hit, and those were super delicious. I made Italian sausage and peppers. I grilled some Italian sausage, cut them all in half, and cut the buns in half, put the sausage in the buns with some grilled green peppers, serve those up. Those were delicious. And, of course, the corned beef and cabbage. All those recipes are up at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. That's Earth, Wind, and Fire from an old album. I don't remember the name of the album, but... I remember when we started the Sunday morning show, I've always been a huge Earth, Wind, and Fire fan. When we started the show, I remembered that song, and we've been using it ever since then.
You were just talking about Ravinia. Aren't they coming to Ravinia this summer?
They are coming to Ravinia.
Excellent.
Want to go?
Yes, I do.
You want to drive? You want to drive me? Can you drop me off?
For you, limousine service.
I don't want to go with you. I just want you to drive me there. How fun would that be if we all went to Ravinia?
That would be
great.
A lot of fun.
The three of us.
A lot of fun.
I mean, you know, and our friends or whoever we want to invite. And, like, have a big listener party at Ravinia.
Oh, I just thought we'd drive there and we'd go our separate ways.
Then we would go.
Just agree to meet.
I'm going to go somewhere in Glenview. Andy's going to go somewhere in Northbrook. I think it would be fun.
It would be great fun.
Oh, we should have an Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I've seen Chicago,
Earth, Wind, and Fire,
but I haven't seen Earth, Wind, and Fire. They're one of my very favorite groups.
Last time I saw them was at Ravinia.
Yeah, I remember. You were there, and you said they were fantastic.
I'm going to see... You know, we just talked to the president and CEO.
I know you did.
Ravinia. How hard can it be to arrange a WGN, you know, like a Sunday morning...
an outing.
Outing.
You know, nice. An outing.
Be fun.
That would be great.
And then people can come and watch me insult you in person.
They can... Which happens every year at tree time.
Fun of you in person. You know what? I love when we get snail mail because it's a fair amount of effort, right?
Yeah.
To sit down,
a letter.
Got to get a pen or pencil. You got to get a piece of paper. You got to get a stamp. Got to go through the whole deal. And then, you know, you say something to us.
Well, it worked well for several thousand years.
It's very true. But I got a nice card from Gene. In Minooka, Illinois. It says, Dear Dean, I appreciate you stating on today's show, this was last week, about the gratuitous violence in movies and how it's not needed. As a critic of movies, your voice carries weight when you address issues like this. I don't know if that's true. But when I hear you say it, it strengthens my resolve that we can all work towards solutions to make the world a better place. That's a nice
Very place. Well said.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Very well said, yes.
Yeah, thank you for that. If you enjoyed me coming out against gratuitous violence in movies, I was talking about, which movie was it last week? I don't even remember what movie it was now.
The Scream movie, I think?
It was, Scream 6.
Yeah.
Wait till you hear my review of John Wick 4 that I'm going to do this coming week, because that is truly nothing but excessive, gratuitous gun violence that I have lost. There was a time where I would go see a movie like that and go, oh man, that was awesome. Awesome kill. And I'm sorry, there's too much of that in real life now is my point. I can't watch a movie with excessive gun violence anymore without thinking about what's going on in real life. So, you can expect a fairly scathing review this coming Friday. I'll be honest with you about that. Let's see here. Dean, why doesn't Toronto? Wow. They named the city after him in Canada.
Jim Toronto with you.
Why doesn't Jim Toronto extend an invite to you to be on his podcast? It's a good question. Schwani would if he had a podcast.
Well, I'm still using my reel-to-reel tape recorder, and I can't quite figure out how to get the tape
into the... What is this crazy thing you call podcast? What is this? I got to get my 20-year-old nephew to explain to me what is this? What this is. That's another thing, though. I have so many ideas of things that I would like the three of us to do. Like, you know, Ravinia broadcast, bowling, kayaking. We've had many good ideas, haven't we?
And none of which have been followed up.
We have not done one of them.
Although you came in here, when you talked about the kayaking, you came in here after the show, and you were very seriously looking down at the river going, so how do you think we can do this?
really?
Man, he was really serious.
What I was thinking when I was looking down there is
how am I going to push Schwani over into the water?
How quickly I would drown. Because I don't even see myself being able to get into a kayak without tipping it over. You want to talk about doing a Three Stooges routine? That would be,
boy,
as Schwani, that at least would be you and me. Maybe Andy could do it, but I know you and I would be like, stop it.
Yeah, you're tied to the dock.
But there's the other thing that I want us to do. I want the three of us to do a podcast.
Ah. You have mentioned this also.
Sunday Morning Guys podcast.
You have mentioned this, yes.
How popular would that be?
I think it would be quite popular.
All right. Get right on
that.
You know,
we'd listen, the three of us. And
our families.
Families, perhaps, you know.
Right. Andy's married now. That's one more listener for us now. Yeah, there we go. So.
Hurry hurry in for our best deals at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Then get away to someplace fun, like jet skiing in Key West. It's your journey. Own every mile at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, going on now. Now get 0% APR, plus 500 bonus cash with no payments for 90 days on select Hyundai vehicles. Hurry into your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer today during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offer ends April 3rd. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
Beneath their gorgeous exterior, 1-800-GOT-JUNK trucks were designed to be ready for anything.
How about construction site junk?
All you have to do is point.
Retail, grocery store, warehouse, office junk?
Point, 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 point.
How about the monumental junk left after a fire or a flood or a hurricane?
This time, you'll need to do it with your other hand.
Why?
Because the first hand will be tired from all of that other pointing.
I see your point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois Department of Human Services.
When you're betting and find yourself constantly thinking about gambling, and you are losing more money than you have, are you really winning?
If you're spending too much time playing slots, or you can't stop betting on sports,
and you find yourself feeling overwhelmed, maybe lying, hiding your habit, and losing more than you can afford to lose,
you are not alone. And Way Back In, a gambling addiction treatment center, is here to help.
When your betting has gotten out of hand, call 1-833-DON'T-BET.
Here's the fact.
More Americans are turning to News Nation.
I see our audience grow.
Thank you for being part of News Nation's largest audience yet.
All voices need to be acknowledged, and I think that's where you get trust.
Magnify what matters.
That's what we're here to deliver, without fear or favor.
See why America's fastest growing cable news network is News Nation.
It's going to continue to get dramatically larger. I'm really proud to be a part of it.
News for all America.
If outdoor projects like a new deck, porch, or patio are on your must-do list this year, now is the ideal time to start planning so you can enjoy it all summer long. An Architect of Chicagoland is the ideal company to create your outdoor space. Whether it's a new deck, patio, outdoor kitchen, or porch, Architect can do it all. Architect's design professionals create solutions that blend form, function, and affordability. And there's nothing better than getting home and relaxing in a space that you truly enjoy. Go to architectofchicagoland.com and get inspired for your family's new gathering space. And Architect's professional staff is focused on design, quality, and service. From start to finish, they'll walk you through the entire process. They've created thousands of outdoor gathering spaces for Chicagoland families. So start planning now to enjoy your space this year with the free consultation. Decks, paver patios, pergolas, screen porches, sunrooms, outdoor kitchens, and more. And they even have financing available. Your new family time begins at architectofchicagoland.com.
So earlier I was mentioning to you that this coming Thursday night, I am going to be doing one of those WGN 75th anniversary extended stories on the children's programming of WGN-TV. If you grew up in Chicago watching Channel 9 and the kids' shows, I think you're really going to enjoy this feature. We dig into all of the major kids' shows that were on the air since the station went on the air in 1948. And, Mike, you had a personal encounter with one of the WGN children's personalities?
Yes, Dean. Yeah, first of all, you write my Sunday mornings. But, yeah, when you guys are talking about Bozo Circus, brought back a lot of pleasant memories years ago. I was a state trooper. I was patrolling Eden's Expressway, and I stopped this car for, I don't know what, I don't recall what the reason was, but I walked up and asked the gentleman for his license, and I'm looking at the license, and I said, Robert Trendler. I said, you're the band leader for Bozo Circus? And he said, well, he still had his makeup on, Dean,
too. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and he said, I said, I forget what the outcome it was. I know I let him go, probably, but anyway, he said, you got any kids? And I said, yeah, I got a slew of kids. And he said, well, call my secretary Monday morning. And he said, tell her you talked to me. And by gosh, I called her Monday morning, and we had tickets in the mail within a week.
How about
and
that?
And I was on the waiting list for like 2 years, I think, at that
How
time.
About that? And then after that, you were following Bozo, Cookie, Wizzo to see if a tail light was
guys,
out.
Those guys, they're our kids. Watch those kids, guys, forever,
yeah,
really.
That's fantastic.
And I've been a WGN listener for gosh forever. I'm going on 92 now, so it's I'm going on 40 years retirement, so that's a long time ago.
Wow, how about that? You sound great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that story. Thursday night between 9 and 10 p.m., we're going to be recapping WGN-TV's children's programming. One of the things that are new on home video this week is the reboot of Luther with Idris Elba. It was a TV series. It's now a full-length motion picture. I talked with Idris Elba not too long ago, one-on-one, and he told me about rebooting this very familiar character.
You know, I mean, it's easier. I'd say that because this is a character that I've played for 10 years, and, you know, I kind of like, I know him, very familiar. No matter what the storyline might be, I get to sort of embody him again. But this time it was slightly different, bigger scale, you know, a lot more story to tell and unpack.
Any concern at all about making the transition from television to feature film?
Yeah, definitely a lot of sort of, you know, fear about whether audiences that love the TV show will come with us to watch the film, because some people are a bit like, ah, really? And of course, you know, we want to bring a new audience in. So, well, the new audience buy into the legacy of a character that they may not have seen before. So, you know, that fear is sort of, you know, we put that fear into the hard work to try and really pay attention. It took a while, took a lot of hard work, a lot of collaboration, a lot of sort of, you know, keeping our eyes on the prize. But I do feel this film gets there. You know, I'm really excited for people to see it.
Yeah. You've played, you know, many iconic roles. I wonder if there are roles that people ask you about, talk to you about most often. I know the character that people ask you about most often is James Bond, and I know that you've answered that question about 100 times. But of roles that you have already played, which ones do people ask you about?
I get asked about Stringer Bell quite a bit. I get asked about Charles Minor from The Office. Nelson Mandela is one that I get asked about. I played a character in a film called Sometimes in April, and every now and again someone says, oh my god, that character, I want to talk to you about that. So, you know, it's always a nice surprise to see what people sort of lean towards, you know.
I had completely forgotten that he had a recurring role for quite a while on The Office, and I loved him on that as well. He's just such a fantastic actor, super nice guy. I've been able to interview him multiple times now, and every time couldn't be more polite and generous and professional than the time before. Idris Elba and the new film, it's a feature film this time, not a television series, Luther, The Fallen Son. It is streaming now on Netflix. This coming week on the WGN-TV Morning News, going to be talking to the cast of John Wick 4. I talked to them about the excessive violence in the movie. Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, and the late Lance Reddick, the actor who just passed away the other day. Just talked to him a couple of weeks ago. That's all on WGN-TV Morning News.